my colleague. He is the AP hockey writer. He's based in D.C., but grew up in Philly. Knows a whole lot about the Philadelphia Flyers. Stephen Wino joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. What's up, man? Steve.
Hey, Rob.
I go to you and I hear the dog before I hear you. That's a good sign, man. That's a good sign that we hear the dog barking in the background. So you're in the area right now. You're not in the bubble yet. Are you getting to the bubble at some point?
It looks like the Edmonton bubble when we get to the conference final and the final. We'll just see if the Flyers will be there with me.
Oh, so what do you think about this team? I've been talking about the depth of this team being one of the most impressive things I've seen, because as you see them come back in this bubble, they win the three games and they don't get a goal from Giroux. They don't get one from Hayes, Couturier, Voracek, JVR. They have a lot of depth on this team. Is this team, in your eyes, a legit Stanley Cup contender? And normally when you look at a team and go number one seed, they should be a cup favorite. How do you look at them?
Absolutely, this team is a Stanley Cup contender. And even if you throw out kind of the regular season, because it feels like a different world than before, that the season was paused in the middle of March. But that team, the Flyers were on fire in February and March to the point where they looked like a cup contender then. You started hearing things like, are they peaking too early and those sort of things. But what sticks out to me about this team's depth, not only what you pointed out, Rob, about not getting kind of that production yet from the Giroux, the Voracek, those sort of guys, but the fact that you can have an injury to a Jacob Voracek, an injury to Michael Rocky, and an injury to Travis Sanheim last night that we don't know kind of how severe it is, maybe he returned, but there are three or four, they're protected from three or four injuries along the way. That you know that an NHL playoffs is a battle of attrition. The top 12 forwards couldn't recover. The Flyers have the depth to do that. And I mean, people didn't know who Connor Bunneman was before the season started. Nicholas Aubé-Kubel makes the team out of training camp. People were Googling his name last night to figure out who he is with a two-goal game. This is a team that has, thanks to Ron Hextall and Chuck Fletcher, built up a depth on defense and at forward to be able to survive a long haul.
How much of an impact, obviously, Alain Vigneault coming here, and you take this team from being among the worst in the league to now a number one seed, but how much of an impact do you think is it that Alain holds guys accountable? And there were points earlier in the season where he called out Giroux, he called out Voracek. You see him now having to make tough decisions, and Ghost isn't in the lineup. He's a healthy scratch. JVR is a healthy scratch. How much does the accountability that the coach puts on the players make this team that much better?
It matters because he's not treating players with talent or contracts different than other guys. Mm. And you see this across sports in general, where someone who's got a big contract, who has a big role, who's a star, who sells a lot of jerseys, those sort of things, sometimes organizationally get treated differently. James Van Riemsdyk did not get treated any differently. He wasn't very good in the first round-robin game. He was benched for the second game. When there was an injury to the Voracek, he's back in the lineup. And there's a certain kind of level playing field that Alain Vigneault uses as a coach that I do think it wears on players after several years. It happened in Vancouver. It happened with the Rangers. That the way he kind of treats players like that, it's got a kind of sparking effect early on. Because if you are an Aubé-Kubel, if you are a Joel Farabee, and you see the chance for opportunity that you might play over somebody who signed for 4 or 5 more years at $8 million, that you start playing, you want to skate through a wall for a guy like Alain Vigneault. And he grinds on guys, but he's equal in how he treats them. And the mentality of how they play fits that same way. That if you don't bring it on a given night, you're going to get benched or you're going to get demoted. He's not afraid to move guys around, but also loves the chemistry of what a fourth line looked like last night against the Lightning. Likes to be able to let guys play together for a certain period of time. And I think it's a good balance for a coach in his first year.
Okay, you grew up a Flyers fan. So you know the history of goaltending in this city with this team and this organization, and they haven't won a cup since Bernie Parent. I don't know. Do you go as far back as Hexy in 87? I know you're younger than me. Are you that much younger than me?
I'm aware of that Hextall time. The second Hextall era was more my era, in the Stanley Cup final with Garth Stone in 1997.
Okay, so you missed Hextall when he was the MVP of the postseason, even though they lost to Game 7. But you know the history of goaltending and how the Flyers have always looked for that guy. What do you see out of Carter Hart? He's young, he's poised, he's talented. Can he be that goaltender to carry them if they need him to in spurts? Maybe not necessarily for the whole for the entire length of the playoffs, but there's going to be games where a goalie's got to win it for you. Can you see him doing that?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Yes, Carter Hart is the guy. He is the guy, and for a couple of years now, the organization has known that and has kind of waited and almost overcooked him to get to this point to where he was ready to play a regular role and ready to steal games and that sort of thing. Do I think Brian Elliott plays at some point in these playoffs? Yes, probably. That the schedule is going to allow for that. There's going to be some breaks here or there. He's still a young goaltender, 21 years old. But you look at the plays he showed against Tampa Bay on the breakaway by Kucherov, a few of the other saves he made in the game that clinched the number one seed. This kid is not fazed by that kind of pressure. And it's interesting to me because he was so bad on the road this season, so good at home. But this feels like this weird purgatory situation. And he doesn't have either of those things. And for a guy who's worked with a sports psychologist in Western Canada, he's a very mentally kind of cerebral goaltender and has a good focus about him for a 21-year-old kid. And I know what I was doing at 21, what you might have been doing at 21. Carter Hart looks like a franchise goaltender at this age. And this feels like the situation, this is the moment that I think the rest of the hockey community is going to see what Carter Hart's all about.
We're talking to AP hockey writer Stephen Wino on 97.5 The Fanatic. The one negative to the three games that they've won here in the tournament to get in and get the number one seed has been the power play. They are 0-4-11, I believe, on the power play. They got to get better. They got to take advantage of having the man advantage in the playoffs to win and continue. Do you think somebody like Shane Gostisbehere, Ghost, and coming in and playing after being a healthy scratch, what he can do can kind of invigorate, rejuvenate that power play? Is he going to be a key component to them getting back on track?
You know what? Alain Vigneault's answer to that question is going to determine whether Shane Gostisbehere stays in the lineup for Game 1 against Montreal, because it was not a gimme that Gostisbehere was going to stay in over Robert Haig. But if Shane Gostisbehere from 2-3 years ago, before his core muscle surgery, comes back and looks like the same sort of player, yes, he is that guy. He is that power play quarterback. That so far he's been on that second unit with Matt Niskanen, Ivan Provorov on that first unit. Just to have some sort of balanced attack on the power play is something that I know the Flyers were working on in practice significantly 2 days ago, just to kind of drill through this, because it's along with the top players not producing, the power play is one of those kind of question marks going in right now. But it's a good way to win when you're not getting offense from your power play, when you aren't giving up goals on your penalty kill, and still managing to win, because you know there's improvement to be made there. But what I'm going to be looking at more on the power play is Claude Giroux, a guy who knows how to almost quarterback the power play from the half wall and set other guys up. That he's the key focus for me right now, both at 5-on-5 on the power play. That he's got to get his game going for the Flyers to start scoring at a consistent level and not relying on some of their depth players.
We don't know when it's going to start, but we know they're going to face the Montreal Canadiens in the first round. And Carey Price helped the Canadiens upset the Pittsburgh Penguins as a 12 seed against a 5 seed. Carey Price is that good of a goalie. Do you have any concerns that the Flyers may suffer a first round shocking blow upset because they're facing a goaltender that's that hot?
You know what? It's always possible because you know what Carey Price can do. But there's a reason why players, when they vote on this every year, consider Carey Price the best goaltender in the world. yes, he is capable of stealing a series. I do not think this is going to be a series where the Flyers are outplayed by the Canadiens the way the Penguins were outplayed. And as good as Carey Price was in that series, there was a certain way that Claude Julien and the Montreal Canadiens went at Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby and played to a physical level that the Penguins couldn't handle it. They didn't have a pushback against that. And that they were easily frustrated when Carey Price was making saves. What I think the Flyers have that the Penguins don't is a certain depth of scoring and just a better mental approach to this, that they're not going to get flustered in those situations. That there's going to be a game or two that Carey Price steals. You almost have to set that aside and say, this isn't going to be a sweep. This is going to be a difficult series. But the Flyers are built for kind of withstanding that. Because if you say, okay, Carey Price is going to steal a game or two, we think Carter Hart's the goaltender who can steal a game or two. And then you look at kind of the talent on paper, the differential between the Flyers and the Canadiens, and even how much more playoff experience the Flyers have than the Canadiens. You think the Flyers can withstand that. If Carey Price puts skin on his head, the Canadiens could go on a long run and win the Stanley Cup as the number 24 seed in this whole thing. They could. There's enough evidence there based on how the Flyers have looked so far, based on how the Canadiens played against Pittsburgh, to lead me to believe that the Flyers have what it takes to, if not knock loose Carey Price, at least crack him a few times.
All right, Steven, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Tampa Bay Lightning are a team that's coming off a major disappointment, being the one seed last year, getting swept in the first round. And although they lost yesterday to the Flyers, I don't think they care that much about the one seed, the two seed, wherever they are. Do the Flyers, how far do they go? Can they get past Tampa Bay in a seven-game series if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals? And what do you see this Flyers team doing in this postseason?
I worry about the Tampa Bay Lightning without Steven Stamkos and now potentially without their best defenseman in Victor Hedman. If they face the Columbus Blue Jackets in the first round, I don't know that they get past the Blue Jackets.
Wow.
And the Lightning, this is a team that's supposed to be built for this. This is supposed to be a playoff contending Stanley Cup favorite team. I don't know that the Lightning can get past either the Maple Leafs or the Blue Jackets without both of those guys healthy. As many trades as they made at the deadline, and as good a goaltender they have in Andrei Vasilevskiy, the team that would concern me the most for the Flyers is the Boston Bruins. I know they haven't looked good yet so far, but this is a team that is healthy, is stacked, is deep, does have an offense with four lines, does have several ways to think that they can play. I ultimately think the Boston Bruins go to the Stanley Cup final. We think the Flyers are probably It's hard for me to see the Bruins, if they play the game that they're supposed to be playing, versus anyone in the Eastern Conference.
All right, Steven. One last thing. I saw a big story you wrote this weekend about 8 fights in the first week of the playoffs, and this is in a pandemic where, you know, you don't want guys bleeding on you, spinning on you, all that stuff. And there were only 3 fights in the 2019 NHL postseason combined. That's a great article. I'm looking at some of the video right now of it. What were some of the theories that you got from some of the coaches as to why fighting has been on such a dramatic rise?
One of them is obviously you have so much time off that these guys have kind of a pent up energy from not playing for more than 4.5 months. But more specifically, having a 5-game series where every game even takes on even a greater meaning in this qualifying round, guys were so eager to try to change the momentum in these games and series that especially, and Jason Spezza from Toronto said this, without fans in the building, you don't get that natural energy. As a road team, you don't get the energy from shutting up a home crowd. You don't get the loud roars from a home crowd as a home team. So players have felt kind of take it upon themselves to shift the momentum. And if you can't score a goal in a certain shift, the way to do it is drop the gloves and fight. And it's a very old-time Philadelphia Broadstreet Bullies style of doing it. But more teams have taken that sort of mentality than I would have thought, especially when fighting isn't something that happens all that much in hockey now, especially during the playoffs. But guys have been willing to say, look, I'll take my 5 minutes in the box if it can shift the momentum even a little bit.
That's an interesting perspective. That's Steven Wino, covers hockey for the AP, also covers the Capitals, the Washington football team. You got to update your Twitter bio, man. You got to change that to Washington football team and the DC sports. You can follow him on Twitter at S Wino, WHYNO. Man, thank you so much for spending some time with us here.
Thanks, Rob. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.